pray that you've been blessed so far, and may the Lord continue to bless us as we open up his word. Well, we are in the midst of May. It's a wonderful month, isn't it? May is perhaps my favorite month of the year. I mean, the weather is awesome most times, and it will be again. Summer break is starting from school for most students, and May begins the season of parties. Have you noticed that? I mean, graduation parties are everywhere this time of year. We did Mother's Day parties last weekend. The wedding season is beginning anew. May is a party month. It just is. There's something in us as humans. We love to get together and celebrate. It's a wonderful part about being a human. Well, I can remember years ago when I was a camp pastor at Broken Arrow Ranch. I got asked by the conference to do that for several years, and we always had a great time when we'd go down to Broken Arrow Ranch and I'd speak there. And one year in particular, I went there and took my wife, Jeanette, with me, and little Ethan was there as well. He was almost 4 years old. I think he was about three, and he's going to really hate the fact that I still have this picture. But they were all there with me that time, and we had a great time at camp. And for young people out there, if you're thinking about it, camp is a fun, great way to spend your summer. Well, all week long we were there, and the camp staff would work so hard with the kids, having fun with all the campers. And then at the end of the day, if you've ever been to Broken Arrow Ranch, you know what happens at the end of the day. They have us walk up this big, giant hill to get to the top of it. And then when we're up there, that's where we have worship. And they have us go up there, they say they have us go up there so that we can see the sunset as we're worshiping. And the sunsets are beautiful at Broken Arrow Ranch. I'll give them that. But I think the other reason they have us climb up that big giant hill is so that all the kids will be worn out after worship is over. Because when worship is done and we come back down the hill, it's then bedtime and time to get the campers in bed and asleep. And so that's what happens all week long, except for Saturday night. And Saturday night, they do something different. They let the kids stay up extra late, and the camp staff throws a party for the campers in the lodge. So Saturday night came of that week that we were there. Like all the other nights, we climbed up the big giant hill, and then I shared a worship thought. The sun set, and we went back down the hill, only this time, we didn't go to our room. And Ethan was confused by this change of the order. And so little Ethan, he says, "We're not going to bed?" And I said, "No, buddy, we're going to the lodge." And innocently, he looks up, he says, "Why?" And so we told him, "Well, they're having a party for us tonight at the lodge." And he goes, "Really?" And we said, "Yes." And then my mild-mannered, almost four-year-old son raises his arms triumphantly in the air and proceeds down the hill, down the steps, going, "Party, party, party, party," the whole way down. Jeanette and I looked at each other. We said, "When did our son become Jim Belushi and Will Ferrell?" He was excited to go to that party. We were stunned to see Ethan that excited about a party. Would you be stunned to know that Jesus loved to go to parties? Would that shock you a bit? He did. Jesus was a party goer. Now, maybe not to the parties that you and I may be picturing in our minds, but Jesus certainly went to parties, and he went to hang out with people. So as we continue this sermon series, trying to take some new looks at who Jesus is, let's this morning try to discover Jesus, the party goer. Now, if you look through the Gospels, and I hope you do, I hope you spend some time this summer looking through the Gospels, and you're going to notice that Jesus is at a lot of parties. He goes to a wedding right off the bat in the Gospel of John. There are parties that just form up around him in the countryside. And then he goes to parties at people's homes. He went to the yearly festivals like Passover throughout the year. And Jesus didn't always just show up at fun events. Jesus would show up at funerals too. Only he had a strange ability to go to a funeral and ruin it. Because everybody was there to have a nice, sad time. And then Jesus would show up and just ruin the funeral and turn it into a celebration. So the first thing you can notice when you look through the Gospels is that Jesus was a very social person. Sometimes, I don't know, it's like we only picture Jesus just walking around saying spiritual stuff, or just walking around healing people, just preaching sermons everywhere he went. But it's more than that. Jesus spent lots of his time in the synagogues, that's true, but he also just spent time with the people on the street. There's a famous quote from the book Ministry of Healing, and I enjoy it. It's one of my favorite quotes. It says, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, won their confidence, and then bade them follow me. That's from the book Ministry of Healing, page 143. As I think about that text, I have to ask myself the question, what about us? Are we mingling with people? Are we showing sympathy to others and ministering to their needs? Now, folks, as a pastor, I have to tell you that I am very proud, and I only get proud as a pastor at what my church does. And I'm very proud as a pastor that this church works hard to connect with people in the community. And we work to help people in the need, that we discover in need. In fact, just this year, the Better Day Ministry is, I think, going to break a record in the amount of money that's been given out to families in need. We're on pace to hit about $15,000 to help people in need this last year. Can you say amen? Amen? That ministry only happens because of the generosity of you, the church members, and because of the work of the Better Day team. But that's talking about the church as a whole. I started to think about, what about me? What about myself individually? What about us individually? Are we mingling with our communities? Now, folks, don't stretch this point too far. Not everyone is built to be the extrovert life of the party. Don't be out there sitting and thinking, oh, I could never go and do that. That's not what I'm talking about. Even introverts can mingle. Amen? They can mingle, but they can't say amen because they're introverts after all. But you can. Introverts can mingle. In fact, I think introverts, when they do mingle, when they get in that spot where they can, they're actually able to mingle and connect on deeper levels than the extrovert ever can. Are we mingling? Well, friends, as we continue thinking about Jesus as a partygoer, perhaps the most shocking aspect of him as a partygoer is not the fact that he went to parties, but it was who he went to party with. So let's look at a few of these parties of Jesus. In Luke chapter 7, if you want to turn with me there in your Bible, Luke chapter 7, we're going to find a party that Jesus went to. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, it says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Does that shock you? Jesus goes to a party, he goes to eat, and he goes to eat at Simon the Pharisee's. Now, if Simon's a Pharisee and he's having a party, who do you think he invited to come to the party? Other Pharisees and Jesus eating together. You have a hard time picturing that? Because the Bible kind of portrays the Pharisees as enemies in opposition of Jesus. And yet, there he goes. It's kind of strange to picture Jesus hanging out and eating with Pharisees. Could you go and eat with your enemy or someone who is at odds with you? And it's not just the Pharisees that Jesus goes to hang out with. Jesus goes and parties with Matthew and Zacchaeus. Anybody know from the Bible stories what jobs Matthew, or also called Levi, or Zacchaeus, you know what their jobs were? Tax collectors. They're not Pharisees. These guys are tax collectors. They are regarded as traitors to Israel. They would collect taxes, not for the kingdom of Israel, but for the kingdom of Rome. They were thought of as crooks, and many of them were. And yet Jesus goes to party with them. Jesus partied with all types, and not everyone approved of his actions. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, and let's see. Matthew chapter 9, there's a question that is asked about Jesus' activity. What has he been doing? Matthew chapter 9 and verse 11. When the Pharisees saw it, so here he is, he's at Matthew's, he's at Levi's place, and they see him hanging out with tax collectors, with sinners. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus hung out with sinners so much, it upset the saints. Did you catch that? Who would we be in this story? So this leads me to the question of why? Why did Jesus go to these parties? Was he just a social climber? You know, going to parties so he can up his status in society? Friends, not at all. If he'd have just been hanging out with Pharisees, you could maybe levy that accusation against him. But he's hanging out with sinners, with tax collectors, the bottom of the barrel, the no good people that you never want to hang out with. And there he is. As we said, his party-going exploits got him into hot water with people. And they said, "Why does your teacher hang out with sinners?" Have you ever been hanging out with a friend and then someone comes along and says, "What are you doing? Why are you hanging out with so-and-so?" That kind of happens on the playground, I remember, recess time. You'd be hanging out with somebody, playing with your friends, and someone else would walk up and pull you to the side, and why are you hanging out with them? Has that ever happened? Do you remember that maybe growing up? It does. Why are you hanging out with her? What are you doing with those guys over there? It's a question that a bully uses to try to make someone feel bad and to try to control your behavior. "Oh, I didn't know. I better not hang out with them." Is that how Jesus would respond when he was accused? Well, friends, I'm so glad that Jesus never gave in to bullies. He never did. And neither should we. But the bully certainly tried to control his behavior. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Let's see this again. When they ask him the question, "What are you doing with these people? Why are you hanging out with them?" Luke chapter 5 and verse 30. And the scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Because just eating with them shows that you're accepting of them." Jesus' response in verse 31. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, when he's at Zacchaeus' house, he ends that story by saying that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19, verse 10. So Jesus, his number one motivating factor in life was to help others and to save people. He was not concerned with what people necessarily thought about him if it got in the way of him helping others. So sometimes I have to ask myself, if that was Jesus' number one motivating factor in life, what is Michael's number one motivating factor in life? Which is a painful question to ask. But following Jesus is not always easy, and it's not always pain-free, is it? But Jesus did not just attend parties, he also preached about parties. Jesus gave instructions about how to throw a party. Did you know that? And he told you, when you have a party, he told you who to invite. Let's have a look and see. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14 now. Luke chapter 14, Jesus gives you instructions about party throwing. You didn't realize that, did you? Out of all the things he came from heaven to tell us, he tells you how to throw a party. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Then Jesus also said to him who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Why does Jesus say this? I mean, out of all the counsel that he could give to people about how to live, party instructions, how to throw a party? It seems a little odd, but you have to remember the role that parties had back in Bible times. You see, this society is not like our society. Our society is kind of built on, you know, the almighty dollar. This society is built on honor and shame. That's the grease that spoke the wheels back then. And so when you invited someone to a party, you were showing that person honor. And so they had an honor debt to you. And so what would they do? Well, then they would, in return, invite you to a party in order to pay that debt. Or they would bring a gift to you in order to pay the debt of honor that they owed. And that's why what Jesus says here is more than just party instructions. Jesus then says, invite those who cannot return the favor. They can only say, thank you. Which is what you said when you had nothing to offer. Thank you. The poor cannot repay, and the host of the party does not expect them to pay. Hold on to that thought, because here's where Jesus, the party goer, gets really cool. Because Jesus didn't just attend parties, he's planning on throwing a party too. And who is Jesus going to invite to his party? He tells us a parable here in Luke 14 that answers this very question. Follow me down to verse 16. This is where we get to see Jesus in a light that just blows my mind. Verse 16. Then Jesus said to them, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent out his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' So the dinner plans are made, everything is set, the invitations go out. Everything is ready for the party." And he says, "Go. Tell them it's time." And verse 18. "But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I have asked that you have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come.' So they've gotten the invitation, and now the time to come is there, and they're going to RSVP with, 'Can't make it. Gotta give me a rain check on this.' Now, we've got a list of excuses. Are these good excuses for missing the party? Think about it. Not at all. I've bought some land. I've got to go check it out. Who buys land before first looking at it? Right? Oh, I bought this whole thing of oxen here, and I got to go test them, see if they're good. What? You would test them before you bought them. I just got married. I can't come. Your wife not going to come along with you? The excuses that are given are lame excuses, friends, for why they didn't come to the party. But I want you to notice something. The master's party is not postponed just because they've decided that there's something else more important. So the master says, "Go and bring others. Get the lame, get the poor, get the blind." These are the people who will not be able to return the favor or do anything for the master. And so they go out and they bring in the poor. But in verse 22, they discover there's more room. And so the master says, go everywhere and bring people in. Get everyone, get anyone. Because I want my party full. So what does this tell us about God who wants to throw a party? It tells us, friends, that he wants everyone there. He invites, but when that doesn't work, he says, go and get those who can't even return anything to me, bring them, and then that's not enough. Go and compel anyone you can, tell them to come. Next thing we learn about this whole party that God wants to throw is that people can refuse. You don't have to attend. Next thing we realize is that just because you at one point in time received an invitation does not guarantee that you will attend. If you choose not to. And Jesus invites those who cannot repay the honor debt. He just wants their willingness to come. So Jesus' party parable here reveals to us some truths about salvation and about the kingdom of God. That's what he's trying to teach us. So what does it teach us? Friends, this party, Jesus, his party story teaches us about grace. Did you ever notice that? Because those who come to the party have nothing they can offer in return. That's salvation. When you're invited, when you're told to come, and you look, I got to bring something. Do I have anything I can bring for the master? I've got nothing. I've got nothing. And that's why he says, compel them. Because they wouldn't want to come. I can't. I'm not. Just compel them to come. That's God's grace, wanting anyone to come. And when we accept salvation, it's not based on us returning any favor to God. That's number two. You're not having to return a favor to God when you accept him. Number three, in the story, we see that Jesus is desperate for partygoers. He's desperate to have his party full of people. And then the last one, the attendance at the Great Supper is only based on those who choose to respond. It's not based on a previous invitation. It's not based on the fact that your parents are going. It's not based on the fact that your friends are going or your family. It's only based on if you will accept the invitation. So here in this story, we see a warning. Just because at one point in time you may have accepted the master's invitation and said, yeah, I'm coming, I'm going to be there, that does not prevent you and me from in the future choosing the world and refusing to go. When the party time arrives, will you still choose to go? Or will we be busy? Well, we have other things we got to take care of. My land, I got to look at it. Or a new relationship I got to take care of. I got this job, it's so busy. Friends, Jesus, as we look in the Bible, he is a party goer, without a doubt. But he's also going to be the greatest party thrower as well. Years ago, back in my party days, and they weren't parties like Jesus was at, I had one friend who was amazed at the parties that I could throw, and he would say, that guy could throw a wild party with nothing but a broomstick. And I was renowned for my party exploits. But when it comes to partying, the best party thrower the universe has ever seen is none other than Jesus the Son. And he's throwing a party. He predicted a future party, a heavenly party. See, Jesus attended other people's parties in his life, but he has a future party planned, and it's spoken of in the gospel, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. This is our last text for the day, Revelation chapter 19. There is a party yet to happen, and he alludes to it in his parables, but Revelation 19 speaks of it. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Friends, there's a party coming. And it's not the party of the century. It's not the party of the millennium. It will be the party of all time with the greatest party host ever. Will you accept Jesus' invitation? Even though we have nothing to offer in return. Will we come to the party when it comes to be party time, or will we be too busy with life? No. My friends, are you ready to party with the greatest party thrower ever? Have you thought about that? Partying with Jesus. I know something about partying from my past, but I cannot wait to party with my Lord and Savior. I don't want to miss that party. I want to be there. And I don't care if I'm in the worst seat in the party. He can put me in the corner somewhere as long as I'm a part of it. I just want to be there. Do you want to be there? But friends, there's something more. When we remember that parable that Jesus told about partying in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, he also told his servant. Now, who is God's servants today? He told his servant, go and get others so that my house can be filled. Friends, this world is obsessed with parties. But there are so many people who are going to miss out on the greatest party ever. Are we, God's servants, willing to go into the highways and into the byways to tell anyone, to tell everyone that there's a great party that's going to happen? And to tell them that you can be there too. You don't need a formal invitation. You don't need to bring a gift. But the Master, Jesus, the party thrower, he just wants you to be there. Our world is waiting for us to tell others about Jesus, the party goer, about Jesus, the King of all parties. Jesus, the friend of sinners. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, blessed Spirit, we thank you so much that you were willing to come and to party with the likes of us, to eat with us, to drink with us. And thank you, Lord, that even though we have nothing to offer to you, you still extend the invitation to us. To come and to party with you for eternity. We cannot praise you enough, Lord. We cannot even understand it. But you are the greatest party thrower this universe has ever or will ever see. And we want to be there with you, Lord. Help us to go and tell others about the heavenly party that is coming soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.